That special? Very much. I want to ask you to open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 tonight, as we continue our study here in Luke and through the Gospels. Last week, we spent some time discussing whether this portion of Scripture was a parable or whether it was an actual event with actual people. I tend to believe that this was an actual event, and gave you some of the reasons for that last week and encourage you to study that out on your own. I'd like to reiterate this fact. Whether or not this is a parable or an actual event changes nothing about the reality of hell. If it's in fact a parable, then parables were always about real things, like sowers and seed and soil and birds and trees, and hell is a real place. And the Lord has been very direct in the fact that hell is a real place, that it's an eternal place, and it's a place that you don't want to go. It's a place that you don't want anybody else to go. And so if we find our place here in Luke chapter 16 again, if you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's word tonight. Luke chapter 16, if you find your place there, verse 19. Luke 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Let's stop right there and pray together tonight. Father, again, as we come before your throne of grace, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that you've revealed to us of the spiritual realm, that we know from your word that there is a heaven, and we can go there by faith in Jesus because of his sacrifice for our sins. Lord, we thank you that we know from your word that there is a hell, and that you've given us warning and made a way for us to escape that eternal torment. I pray, Father, anyone hearing this message who's never been born again, that tonight they would repent of their sin and unbelief, that they would put their faith in Christ alone. And Lord, as we consider the reality of hell tonight, I pray that it would stir up the heart of every believer, that we would have a renewed passion to reach the lost with the glorious gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Please help me, Lord, for I am nothing without you. I pray you'd forgive our sins and help us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I forgot the microphone. And so I want to get that ready. But tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about the reality of hell. And I've got this really fancy marker board that we're going to attempt to use tonight. I told you a minute ago, you're going to get to see just how bad I can draw. And you'll get to make fun of my poor penmanship. But what I want to share with you tonight, I think, will be better understood with a graphical representation. So that's what we're going to try to do. What I want to share with you tonight is the place the Bible has different words for. In the Old Testament, the word is Sheol. And it's every time in the Old Testament you see the word hell, 54 times in 54 verses, it's always the Hebrew word sheol, which means the place of the dead. In the New Testament, there are actually three different Greek words for the word hell. We have the word Hades, which is the equivalent of sheol. We have the word Gehenna, which is a place of suffering, that valley of Hinnom, which was a valley outside of Jerusalem where they put their trash and dead bodies and dead animals, and they always burned it. And that's the picture that Jesus used to describe what hell was like. It was a place where it was full of corruption, full of death, full of flame. It was just a terrible, terrible place. And that's the word that's used to describe the torments of hell. The last word is only used one time, and that's the word Tartarus. And it's the place, it's the basically the idea is the lowest place in hell, a place of utter torment. And that's only mentioned in 2 Peter 2:4, which says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell," that's Tartarus, "and delivered them in chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." And so we have different words for hell. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. And then I want to talk to you also about Abraham's bosom. Because I believe, now, this is not one of those things that I'm dogmatic about, and I would encourage you to study it out, but I believe that what happened to people who died before Jesus ascended with his sacrifice on the cross, what happened to those people when they died is different than what happens to people after they die after the ascension of Jesus. And we're going to kind of walk through that tonight, okay? All right, okay, all right. The hardest part of the whole thing tonight, I've got to draw a circle. Do you have any idea how hard it is to draw a circle? Because I do. Now, y'all make fun of me later for how lopsided that is. Now, stay with me, because the first thing I want to tell you is hell is the place of the dead. The Old Testament Hebrew word is sheol, or it's Hades. Now, it's important that we understand that this entire area is the place of the dead, because everybody who dies, they had to go somewhere, right? Now, people who died before Jesus died and rose again, they couldn't go to heaven because he hadn't paid for their sins yet. Amen. But they didn't go to torment, but they did go to the place of the dead. So when you consider Sheol or Hades, this is where all the dead went. Some of them to punishment, some of them to torment, punishment or torment, and some of them to a good place. Now, when we look at the scripture tonight, we see that Sheol is the Hebrew word 54 times in 54 verses. Hades, 11 times out of 24 in the New Testament, we see the word Hades. And that is just the place of the dead. Maybe it's referring to torment, maybe it's not. But then I want you to know that in this place called hell, we have Gehenna. And down at the very bottom, we have Tartarus. Now, I know you can't read that, but neither can I. But this is a place of punishment. So this, when we consider Gehenna, this is what we would call a place of torment. So everybody still with me? All right. So everybody that died went to the place of the dead. Everybody that died went to the place of the dead, but some of them went to a place of torment. We saw that the angels who were cast out of heaven, at least some of them were cast into a place of judgment. And that's interesting to me too, because we know that some of those fallen angels were demons that were free to cause havoc on earth, but some of them were reserved in chains in Tartarus. So something to consider there. Now, look at our text, if you would, Luke chapter 16 and verse 26. What do you see? When Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But when the rich man died in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, right? And verse 26 says, "Beside all this, and between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed." So here we have this place of torment. Between that place and another place, there was a great gulf. This great gulf was fixed in between, and one could not pass from one to the other. But where was Lazarus? Where was Abraham? Well, the Bible says that he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom.
Verse 22 in our text, right?
The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and went to a place of torment. So just imagine with me. Anybody know what that is? We'll call that Calvary. Thank you. I want you to think about this. In Luke chapter 23, look at Luke 23, verse 42 through 43. Luke 23, verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, did Jesus, when he died on the cross, did he go up into heaven? Well, not according to what the scriptures tell us. So, there were two thieves on either side of Jesus. Both of them, in the beginning, they railed on Jesus. They mocked Jesus. They didn't believe in Jesus. But before Jesus died and gave up the ghost, before they died, before their legs were broken and they died, one of them had a change of heart. And he cried out to Jesus. He told the other one, he said, stop railing on him. This man has done nothing. We're getting what we deserve, but he doesn't deserve this. And he cries out to Jesus, Lord, remember me. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I would submit to you that Abraham's bosom is the same thing as paradise. It's the part of the place of the dead, where dead people went, but it's the other side of the gulf. This is a place of paradise. This is a place of torment. And so one thief, when he died on the cross, he died and he went over here to hell because he rejected Jesus, because he would not believe. But Jesus, when he went to paradise, he took this one with him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. We look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. And he says, Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. We know Jesus ascended. We hear about that later. But I want you to consider this. When Jesus died, he went down to paradise. We know that he was in the tomb, right? 3 days, 3 nights. But then he came up out of the tomb, and the tomb was opened, right? When they came to early that first day, the tomb was open. First person he talked to in the garden was Mary. I want you to think with me about what Jesus says when he talks with Mary there in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 16 and 17. We look at John 20, 16 and 17. You remember they come early in the morning? Jesus has already risen again. The angels roll away the stone. They're trying to figure out what happened. When you study all four of the Gospels, there's a lot of running to and fro, and it's hard to put it all together. But the Bible tells us very clearly that he appeared to Mary first. And in John 20, verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Listen, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascended to my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. So we know that Jesus ascended, but before he ascended, he descended down to the lower parts of the earth. And what was Jesus doing? We know Jesus didn't go to hell, to a place of torment, but he said to the thief on the cross, you'll be with me in paradise. Now he said, don't touch me. 3 days later, he said, Mary, don't touch me because I haven't ascended yet. So where was he? Well, we know that he was in the grave. But where was his spirit? He died. He gave up the ghost. He sent the spirit out of his body. Where did it go? Well, I submit to you that it went right here. It's a place of paradise. Also called Abraham's bosom. And he was down there for 3 days. And even after he came back up into the garden and met Mary there, he had not yet ascended to the heavenly places. He said, "Don't touch me." But what happened? That night, or that later that day, he meets with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember, he reveals all the things of the scriptures about himself to them, but he hid himself from them. They didn't know who he was. They sit down at meat, and he blesses the bread. And when he breaks it and blesses it, they know who he is, and he vanishes out of their sight. They run back to find the church gathered, waiting. And when they get there, they come into the room, and they're telling them all about it. And while they're still talking, Jesus appears in the room. Isn't that awesome? Amen. I love this stuff. Amen. So, man, it's so good. But remember, somebody was missing, right? Thomas. Some of you mean people like to call him Doubting Thomas. I feel bad for Thomas. Would you have believed until you saw him? Right? But old Thomas, he missed church on Sunday night. I know. You expect me to leave that alone, but I'm going to get it every time it comes up. I'm going to hit that. You're like, "We're here. Hello." Okay. But a week later, Jesus appears in the upper room again. This time Thomas is there. You remember Thomas said, "I won't believe unless I touch him." Now, when Jesus appeared to Mary in the garden that first morning, he said, "Don't touch me. I haven't ascended." But when he appears that second time, he says, "Come here, Thomas. Touch. Touch the scars of my hand. Feel my side." You see, something had changed. And we understand that he ascended. What is it that he first descended to the lower parts of the earth? He went down into paradise before he ascended up. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. Now, I confess to you, some of this is a mystery to me, but there are some things that we can understand here that I think it says very plainly. 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath put to death in the flesh," "for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the longsuffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water." Now, I'm telling you, I don't understand exactly all of this means, but I know that he says he went and preached to the spirits in prison. And it could be, this is a description of what Jesus did. He went down into the lower parts of the earth and he preached there. Now, you can study this out. Tell me what you think. But did he preach to those that were here? Or did he preach across the gulf to those that were there? I don't know, but I know that he was there. And I know this. Go back. Go back to Ephesians 4:8. "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive." He led captivity captive. These people were here. They couldn't go into heaven where God was until Jesus died on the cross, until he rose again, until his sacrifice was presented. Remember, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year. Remember, his blood had to be presented. Remember, that sacrifice had to be accepted by God. All of that had to happen before the sins could be atoned for that year. Jesus died on the cross. 3 days later, 3 nights later, he ascended. And at some point between his meeting with Mary and the next week when he met with Thomas, he ascended. He presented his blood in the very Holy of Holies, a place not made with hands, but the very throne room of God Almighty himself. And from that point on, Jesus carried captivity captive. So what happens now? I believe the scriptures are clear. When you die without Jesus Christ, just like the rich man who died without Christ, you'll open your eyes in hell being in torments. I talk to a lot of people these days, and it's becoming more and more prevalent to run across people who don't believe in heaven or hell. They have their own ideas about things. See, most of you in this room grew up in church. Most of you, even if you didn't grow up in church, you just grew up in generations that believe those things. But now we have a generation that has a different attitude. I think we have a video game mentality for a lot of people. They just think that when you die, it's game over. Like, that's it. And then we have some other people who have a video game mentality, and they think they get respawned. Now, some of you have actually played video games, understand that term, but they have that idea, that reincarnation idea. You come back as something else. You get another chance. But the scriptures are clear. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen. It's not game over. Your spirit's going to go on forever. Amen. Either forever in hell in eternal destruction, or forever in heaven in eternal life. It's not reincarnation. You do a good job, you come back as something better. You do a bad job, you come back as something worse. That's not it. The scriptures are clear. So what happened? Now when you die, if you're in Christ, if you've been born again, I believe that Abraham's bosom or paradise, that place is completely different now. You don't go down into the place of the dead. But because his sacrifice has been made, when you die in Christ, you go up. You go up, not to the place of the dead, but to the place of the living. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says that when that trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord, right? Then I want you to look forward to the time of Christ's return. Revelation says that Jesus is going to come back with his saints because they're there with him. That resurrection that happens in the rapture, the dead in Christ, that's the glorification of their body. I believe that's the moment when their spirit that's already with Jesus is reunited. And the second coming of Christ, when he comes again, he comes with all the host of heaven, with all of the saints who have ever been saved, because they've already gone up. Now, I don't know if all of this makes sense to you. I don't know if that's the first time you've ever heard anything like it and you think that's a bunch of crazy stuff. I don't know if that's something you've already been taught and you actually agree with it. But please get this. The takeaways are the main things, right? There is a place called hell. And everyone who dies without Christ will go there. I want you to consider this too. You remember what the Bible says about hell? It's enlarged itself. It's a terrifying thought to me. I don't know exactly how all that works, but I've wondered often if the place that was once held by those in paradise or Abraham's bosom has now been overtaken by a place of torment. But hell has enlarged itself. Because why does the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. We put out a lot of gospel tracts in town today. Just the reality of it is, the majority of houses that we went to today, the people who live in those homes are not saved. When you go about your business this week, when you get on the interstate, those cars that you meet on the highway, the vast majority of the people you meet on the highway, they are not saved. When you go to the grocery store, you go to Walmart, when you go about your business, when you go to work, the vast majority of the people you meet are not saved. So whether this makes sense to you, you agree with it or you don't agree with it, know this, that hell is a real place and it's forever. Know that there is only one way for people to be saved, and that's through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who conquered death because he laid down his life and he took it up again. He conquered the grave and he has the keys to hell and the grave. He has all authority because of who he is and what he did for us. Tonight, I want to ask you to stand with me. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation this evening. Luke 16:23 said, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. I told you it's my persuasion that this is an actual event, not just a parable, and that there really is a rich man who knew a beggar named Lazarus. And at least 2,000 years ago, this event happened before Jesus told the story. At least 2,000 years ago, that man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And I want to remind you tonight that even now, in 2020, he is still tormented in that flame. And every person you and I know who dies without Jesus will be in that place of torment. So let's be motivated to go from this place with compassion and courage to warn people of the judgment to come, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died. He paid the price so that we could live. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation so we can help others come to Christ. If you need to make a decision for Jesus tonight, and can I just say this to you? Calvary, if you don't have a burden for the lost, you need to ask God for a burden for the lost. If you're not being faithful and obedient and sharing the gospel with others, you need to repent. And you need to ask the Lord to help you, because we can't do it on our own. If he's convicting your heart tonight, you come while we sing.
Page 540.